I decided not to take any further action because what kind of message, I guess, would that be sending to our grassroots football? Because concussion is serious, it is scary. You know, when I was 20, I was watching an E Division grand final and a young man like died in front of my eyes. The week prior, he'd been concussed. He went to 7 different doctors. He got an approval to play. He was the captain of his team and he received a normal bump at a centre bounce and he never got back up.
Amazing audio there on a fascinating interview with Chelsea Randall, the captain of the Adelaide Crows, who are in action this weekend in Adelaide Saturday, 1:30 local, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time against Brisbane in the AFLW Grand Final, talking about not playing this week in the Grand Final due to her concussion, not even thinking about it because of a bit of perspective that she's had through her time in sport. And she told the story of that young man who passed after just a centre bounce contest. So she didn't even want to even think about putting herself out there because of what it would mean and say to grassroots football about concussion and what it was and not being flippant about it. So I thought it was unbelievable leadership from Chels yesterday. Clearly she would love to be out there with her Adelaide Crows teammates to go for premiership number 3, but it says a bit about the human being that is leading the Adelaide Crows, which puts them in good stead for the grand final, I reckon. And Nicole Livingston, I'm sure, would have been very, very pleased to have that level of leadership from within her competition, the head of the AFLW from AFLHQ. She joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Harf. Whitey, how are you?
We are very well, thank you. Fairly impressive human, that Chelsea Randall.
Oh, it actually made me teary hearing that. She takes her role as an AFLW player extremely seriously, and to hear her words today about the devastation of missing the grand final, but also the important role that she plays as a role model to community football. Hats off to Chels. It'll be hard this weekend for her, but she'll be up and about, and I'm sure she'll be playing a football whisperer with the Adelaide Crows.
Nicole, it really is impressive how in tune with the community these players are, that it's not just about playing football, it's so much more, and this is another example of that.
AFLW is all about that. You know, all of our players, and 420 of them, do take their role as an AFLW and a role model very seriously. So I think that's the beauty about AFLW and why it's resonated so well, is that not only outstanding women that are playing this game, but they're also, they're outstanding ambassadors for women's football and for football in general. So I'm really proud of Chelsea. I'm proud of all of them. And more importantly, right now, proud to have completed 63 home and away matches and heading into a grand final, which was no mean feat this year for us with COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the key too, which I think I'm sure you'd be very happy with as CEO of it all, is that you've got that clean air for the grand final that you didn't initially have and you've now got. How important do you think that is for the continued growth of the game?
Not exactly true that we didn't have the clean air. We hadn't set the date and time of the AFLW grand final. So that is always what we try to do, is try and find the best slot possible. We are thankful that we were able to move a match when we determined that it was Saturday the 17th at 1:30 Central, 2 p.m. Eastern that we wanted, and that the Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast were in agreement in the AFL men's competition to move that to a later start. So that's part of the beauty of AFLW as well, where we only set the grand final location with a week to go. But this year, we with 2 weeks to go, set that time and date. I stand by the fact that we are different to the AFL men's competition, where, it is the right of the team that finishes top and makes it into the grand final that they do have the right to host. And Adelaide Oval has been a very happy oval for us in 2019, so we're hoping for similar this year.
Speak for yourself, Nick.
No, sorry, Harf.
No, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Speak for yourself. But it does put some pressure on. There was 53,000 there that day. Now, you did have some draw cards from across the border, of course, so that's probably not surprising. But 53,000, do you get nervous? Do you, because you need to get somewhere near that again? How does it work out this week?
Half, you're my age, so you'll get this. It's like watching that episode on the Brady Bunch where Marsha had a party, but Jan had a party, but Marsha had something else on, and they all went to Marsha's thing, and they didn't go to Jan. And poor Jan. I feel a bit like that, but I'm pleased to say, and I'm not going to tell you how many, but we went on sale yesterday, and that's on Ticketek if you are wanting to go across to the grand final. And ticket sales in 12 hours has gone very, very well. So I am feeling a lot more relieved this morning. I'm not going to be Jan Brady.
Nobody wants to be Jan Brady, ever. You never want to be Jan. And it's a really good contest. So I'm keen to have a bit of analysis of it through the week and talk about it. I mean, Adelaide and Brisbane have been outstanding teams. Brisbane's story is, I think, fascinating. I don't think there's a better backs-against-the-wall team in AFLW footy. Craig Starcevich has done a hell of a job with this crew. You must be pleased that even though it's two teams that have had three grand final appearances in 5 years, which would suggest a level of dominance and skewed competition, they are fantastic football teams.
They are, and whilst we've focused on Adelaide and the fact they finished top and they'll host the grand final, do not underrate this Brisbane Lions team. They are perennial bridesmaids when it comes to the AFLW grand final, and they are dogged determined to get there this year. They have been knocked around a little bit. If I think about the home and away, we got it away really well, but you know, Brisbane did get moved down to Victoria with very little notice. They played a Monday afternoon game. So, you know, they have had some challenges and they've responded beautifully. The team has gelled really well. And under that trying circumstance, I think it's drawn the best of them. And you're right about Stark. He's a master coach. And, you know, if he can get a grand final, it will be the icing on a five-year career in AFLW.
It's a great opportunity for them, I reckon. They're in it up to their eyeballs, the Brisbane Lions, this week. Bigger picture stuff. Jeff, I'm not sure if you've come across Jeff through your time at AFLHQ, but Jeff is the president of Hawthorn, and he thinks it would be discrimination of the highest order, Nicole, if they don't get into this competition yesterday. What is the plan for expansion? Is there any further conversation about what the future looks like for the AFLW competition?
Well, first and foremost, we are well and truly focused on delivering this grand final and making it the best possible grand final we can. 420 women in AFL clubs on contracts to play AFL footy, where 5 years ago we didn't have that. The word discrimination is probably not something that I would put around that opportunity that is around for AFLW. We've expanded very fast, half, as you know, as a foundation club coach, but we've gone from 8 to 10 to 14 in a very short period of time of 5 years. We have not shied away from the fact that we do want 18 clubs in our competition. However, it needs to be right for the growth of women's football, for the expansion of women's football in terms of even talent. You know, we've got under-19s on at the moment. There's some great talent coming through. But in the years coming, we'll see more girls that have gone right through from AusKick into AFLW pathways. And that certainly presents an opportunity to have less of a gap between, and we saw it this year in terms of the scorelines, of those expansion clubs and those clubs that have been around for a little while. So we're not shying away from it, Half. It's a commission decision. They are having a meeting in May where we'll review everything to do with AFLW, as we always do. They'll have a conversation about AFLW, as they should. And they are really backing in AFLW, but we'll make the right decisions when it comes to the competition.
Do you feel heat because of someone like Jeff, who can get a fair bit of publicity on these type of issues?
Not really. I've been around for a little while. I heard you talking about, you know, coaches before, and you're talking about Norma and everybody else you're talking about. You know, don't forget I've tussled with someone like a Don Talbot. So.
That's true.
Yeah, and he didn't mind the pointing finger as well. no, look, I don't. You know, it's a compliment that the other clubs do want to come in. You know, Essendon want in as well, Port want in as well. You know, front page of the paper over in Adelaide recently with their aspirations for AFLW, and the Swans want to come in as well. So I see it as a compliment. I don't see it as pressure.
All right, we'll see what happens with that one. And before I let you go, while we've got you on the line, we're 100 days away from the Olympics, Nicole, of course.
I know.
Don Talbot, of course, a good reference point for swimming and your career at international level as one of the greats of Australian swimming. Are you excited about that? Are you too focused at the moment? Is it the same build-up as normal to an Olympic campaign for someone like you?
It's a little different. I'm a bit focused on AFLW, as I should. I will be calling the Olympic Games. I'm just hoping that I can get one of the Pfizer jabs before I turn 50 in June.
Oh.
Trying to figure that one out. But anyway, I'm really excited about the Olympics as well, and the fact that it is going to take place. Our trials are in June, and I'm looking forward to being involved in that as well, and seeing who makes those prize spots of the Australian team to represent in swimming.
Well, they'll be certainly heavy focus for all sports fans, Australian sports fans, in the build-up to the Olympics, no doubt. But all the focus will be at the Adelaide Oval on Saturday afternoon for the grand final. Who wins, Nick?
Women's footy wins.
A good answer.
Fantastic response. You're so good at this. Nice to chat, Nicole. Have a great week.
Thanks, see you guys.
Nicole Livingston, the head of women's football. That is very good from her.
Very good.
Women's football wins this week.
Very good. Very good.